Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that He is. You know, it's a blessing to know that God is so determined to be a blessing to us. And He uses what's His. See, God does things legally. He's not like the enemy. He don't do illegal stuff. He do things that's legal in all of His ways. He doesn't intrude. He doesn't make you do anything. People say the Holy Ghost will make you do this, the Holy Ghost will make you do that. He enables you to do it. They want to do it. They want to do what's right anyway because their heart is clean. Their heart is made brand new and they want to do right. And in the midst of temptation, they cry out to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit makes the difference for them. They're the one who pray in the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to help them. And the Holy Spirit helps us. He doesn't make us do it. He helps us do what we really want to do. That's why He presents the world with fruit. And it's important to understand how God works. And it's also important to receive what He's saying and what He's doing for us. What did He already do? Let's be faithful with what He already did. And if we need Him to do something to make the difference, He'll do it. Just cooperate, because He is moving by His Spirit. And this is very important to know. So many times people give God the cold shoulder. And that's not what God wants. He wants to be active in your life. He wants to be a blessing to you. And He wants to help you go forward. And He wants to supply you with everything you need. Not only to be a blessing to you, many times like the broadcast we talked about yesterday. It was called Handiworks. And in yesterday's broadcast, the Lord had me talking about how the Holy Spirit guided me to, you know, when I took the job that I got, my first job, that was an open door. That was an obvious open door because of the people that I met. The bosses at Food Giant were very wise. They helped me in my business because, see, I got a visual of what professionalism was like. Now, if I had started at some of the other jobs, I may not have been as professional, or it would have been harder for me to be professional. I had an image to look at. Joe Todhunter, Richard Long, and John Hips, Mark and Wade, they were good bosses. They were professional. They knew how to run a business. So when God guided me to that store, Food Giant in Huffman, in those days I learned a lot of things, and I talked about the guy that came and alerted me to what's going on in Israel. They got my attention. Then the coat men came. Everything just systematically happened. And my first job became a tremendous blessing. And I didn't even like the job because I wanted to fix cars. I didn't want to work in the grocery store. But that was what I needed. If I had started out in a shop somewhere, and I may not have learned the management skills. And the people that ministered to me, they were in my path. So be faithful with what you have. The stepping stones are very important to your life. And I got good information at the store, not only about how to work, but about salvation itself. People said things that I needed. And then that was Terrence Givens. He made sure I received the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I ended up receiving the Holy Spirit. And you know, I thank God for everybody that He used to help me go forward. Now, if you're faithful with what God gives you, you're going to grow and you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. Some you may know, some you may not, but it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing to people's lives. The way God does it, He gives us a clean heart, a brand new spirit, fresh start. He washes away all of our sins and never mention them again. He forgives us and forget about it in the sense of ever bringing it up. And I've never heard God bring up something I did, and as if he was upset with it. He forgot about it. He let it go. And that's what I do for others. And it's important to do that. It helps you heal and it helps you go forward. But if you carry anger and frustration, you're going to be easy prey to get in strife. And you know what follows strife? Every evil work follows strife. That's why God don't let it into heaven. So, you know, remember, sin can't do anything by itself. It needs a host. Don't be the host of sin. Be clean. Choose to be clean. No matter what happens in your life, choose to do things God's way. And if you don't understand that don't, so what? Ask God and he'll help you understand. I always tell people, ask questions. Ask the Lord to show you. And start with what Jesus said in the first place. Now, that's very important because people always dwindle back to the problem. And they start a new unnecessary problem for their life all over again. The Lord had me to go to Judges chapter 10. And, you know, there was a king called, a self-appointed judge, Abimelech. He killed Gideon's sons and became the leader. Okay. So in chapter 9, he got destroyed. Okay, let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Puah, and the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years, and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And these were not kings, so there's no consecutive order. Their sons don't take their place. God always raise up another judge. And that's the way it ought to be. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon. Now watch verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served him not. Now how many wars have already been fought because of the same thing? You know, after Abimelech, 23 years went by when Tola reigned, and after him Jair reigned. He judged in Israel 22 years, 23 and 22 years, 23 and 22 is 45 years. And let's see, then Jair, the Gileadite, that's 45 years. Just 45 years went by. And now they're back in the mess without learning what caused the problems of their parents. And all the wars. You would think people would learn from it. It didn't work for that generation. How can it work for ours? And we know better now. But look at verse 6 again. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, Ashtaroth, the sons of the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. And they did it on purpose. And watch what God, look at God's position now. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Now they got two battles to win. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan and in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. Why do we have to get in trouble? It's not necessary. This all could have been avoided by developing. Why didn't they just develop a relationship with God who got them out of trouble last time and learn to avoid getting in trouble again? But let's continue on. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, now they're distressed. The children of Israel cried to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee both, because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." It didn't say he sent a prophet to wake them up like he did in Gideon's day. They knew the problem. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you? And ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. This is God talking. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us what seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. So they changed the facts in verse 16. They repented. And recently the Lord told me, the lukewarm church, they won't budge. They won't repent. And he's about to leave them here. People say, well, the church ain't going to go through the tribulation. The lukewarm church, they're not going to only go through the tribulation. They're going to go through the tribulation. They're going to be given strong delusions, so they'll believe a lie. And as they believe that lie, they're going to end up doing whatever Satan wanted to do or getting killed. And then they're going to hell because they wouldn't budge. But these people, as dumb as they were to do the wrong things knowing better, they had enough sense to ask the Lord to help them. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And the soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. And the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight the children of Ammon? And he shall be head over the inhabitants of Gilead." So now we get to chapter 11, and God raised up Jephthah, and he fits the battle. Now, the problem is people allow their attention to be on the world, and they let the world entice them into something. And when you go down that hole, sin has a way of corrupting your mind, your will, your ways, and it causes you to change in ways you really don't want to change. It destroys your appetite for God, and it causes you so much trouble. And that's not important. That's not in your best interest. When Jesus evaluated the Laodicean church, they evaluated themselves to be rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's how they think. So when the Lord tells them to do something, they consider it an option and then they choose to do what they want. And the Lord has pleaded with them time and time again. And what do? They do whatever it is they want. And they continue to do the things according to their ways. And the Lord loves them. Nevertheless, he loves all of his people. He loves us so much. But he can't change your choice. So when you make the wrong choices, he has to work with it. And he has to deal with it. And he has to go forward with his will without you, if necessary. And that's what I don't want to happen to those who are lukewarm. But right now, at this point, the Lord done spit them out because they won't budge. They're like Eli's sons. They're going to be given strong delusion so that they'll believe a lie. And it's going to help clear up some things for people that's in the world that need to believe on Jesus. God's going to prove that he's not with them. So it's important that people understand what God is doing. I'm giving these broadcasts so that people who want to know God won't make the same mistakes. Don't follow after vain traditions. Don't bend the word of God. Don't change it around. Don't do what other people have done. Don't commercialize your ministry. Don't look at the people like Saul did. Don't go after things that don't profit. Follow after Jesus. Follow after the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you knowledge and wisdom. And be sincere. And God will be able to move graciously in your life. Sincerity. The Lord said, I'm searching for sincerity. He told me that years ago. And a lot of things in the word made sense. And God can't do things the wrong way. He don't do things the wrong way. He will not sin. He don't condone what people are doing. And he has nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. In fact, he told us not to deal with it. And then Paul told us not to associate with people that believe that their riches makes them whole. And I'll look at it because I mess up scriptures when I try to. Sometimes I try to remember them and tell about them, and I don't get it right all the time. But, look at what Hosea said in chapter 6. This is Hosea 4, verse 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of the Lord thy God. I will also forget thy children." See, what you put in motion before little eyes, they become worse. And that works with society too. Remember the priest, the Pharisees wanted Jesus put to death. And if you think they were bad, they even said Caesar. They cried out. They said, "This man is not our king. Caesar is our king." Now they're talking about the King of Kings is not their kings. To make it even worse, they said his blood will be on our hand and our children. That's what they said in their pride and arrogance. And if you think they were bad, Pontius Pilate tried to deliver Jesus into the hand of the people to rescue Jesus from what he knew about those wicked Pharisees. And he offered them Jesus or Barabbas. And they said Barabbas. See, lukewarm people, they beget lukewarm people. The Lord put it this way: sincerity begets sincerity. That's why it's so important for you to go to a holy church, a church that loves God. They don't have to be rich and famous. They don't have to have the best of everything. They got to love God, though. And you go in there and you help support a church that loves the will of God, a pastor that prays for the people. I've seen this with my own eyes. There are churches out there that way, and they create, their sincerity gets on the people, and the sincerity begets sincerity. I've seen people that my dad ministered to for years. They finish college, and after they finish college, they come back to church. They don't go with the world and believe that there's no God, because those crazy, you know, the deceived professors in college brainwashes them, and that's why people don't go to church. But those that finished college, they got a better job, they came back to church, they got married, and they raised a family. I've seen what the power of the local church can be. And they don't let the doctrines of the colleges and their atheist teachers change their mind, but they become productive people. I know people that have done that. And then I know churches that stayed faithful to God, and they didn't even know about the miracles. And I've seen churches that believe in the spiritual things of God and the miracles, and they do the same thing. Their children become professional. They live in better houses and everything. And they love God. And they serve God. And their children serve God. And their children serve God. I've seen this. In the church I go to now, I see it. I thank God for it. See, you don't have to walk this life alone. I promise you this. Satan don't walk. He don't. The world system works together. See, anybody that denies Christ, they go along with the same thing. Their heart gets hard, and there are different factions in the world. There's a religious faction, there's an atheist faction, there's a terrorist faction, but they're all under Satan's control, and Satan used them all like puppets on a string against Jesus. See, Revelation said that the army that's going to come to fight Jesus when he returns, we're not the only ones looking for Jesus' return. There are people building weapons thinking they can kill Jesus all over, but they're hopelessly confused. And they think they can win. I can show you the scripture in Revelation, but for time's sake, we have to look at what God is doing. The Lord explains things in his word. See, when people are changed at the core, and once they're under Satan's control, Satan will use them in their faction. They may not even like the other factions, but they still play in his hand. Now watch this. Jesus said, well, this is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And the Lord caused the prophet to write, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. They increased for goods, then they sinned against God. Therefore, I will change their glory to shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. That's where their focus is now. Verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests. You see that? These people are like, they're in the name of the people of God, but they are not God's people. They look like God's people. They smell like God's people. They say things like God's people, but inside they're ravening wolves. And then he said, they're like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. They're committing adultery, but they're not having children. And if they did, they'll be messed up. because they have left off. Let me read that again. Verse 10. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom. See, they can't be satisfied. They're eating too much. They shall eat and not have enough. They commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Then he said this, whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. You see that? An ungodly appetite would change your heart. It'll change your spirit back into a sinner. He said, my people ask counsel at their stocks. After all the wars they've been through. And this is Hosea. He's many years after the days of the judges. He's into the days of the kings. Verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks. You mean to tell me they're going to ask counsel to a root of a tree, a stock, an idol? After all the trouble that they've been through and all the wars God and all the changes God got them out of, all the countries that the Lord helped them win against, they still go back to the same vomit. This is dog vomit that they're going back to. Instead of living the life of God and raising a healthy family and enjoying the presence of God, they do this. They go back to their stocks. And their staff declares unto them, their staff, listen to a staff, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. Like people, like priests. This is what they do. And they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because of the shadow thereof is good. Therefore that your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doeth not understand shall fall. See, the lukewarm church, they're not just sitting idly by doing nothing. They are in sin because something caused them to be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They can't see their condition. God's not going to condemn them anymore. He's not going to. The Holy Spirit don't convict lukewarm people, because when he did, he didn't have enough love to work with. And they would always turn their shoulder. They turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. But they still assess themselves to be increased with good and riches, with goods and riches, and have need of nothing. And I'm going to heaven, and Jesus saved me. That's what they say. But they left them a long time ago. They won't even budge. This problem is bigger than I ever thought. I'm doing this by the Holy Ghost. This is not just a pet doctrine, or I'm not off on a tangent. This is biblical. If Jesus spit them out, why did he don't just spit out people. He had mercy time and time again when people cried to him. But when people don't cry out to him, he has to do something with them. He can't let sin into his kingdom. He's not going to do this again. He already had a problem with one Satan. One angel became a devil. Did you know a man can do the same thing? One man can start another insurrection with his ways over time. But it's not going to happen again. It's going to be an end to this. After Jesus reigned 1,000 years, Satan is loose. The last war happens. Sin is going to be a thing of the past forever. Jesus already paid for it. It's finished now. But see, the processes, that the remaining processes will happen. And that's not going to be any more sin. And everybody that is a sinner, they'll soon be forgotten. I don't care who they are and how much we love them and care about them. They won't repent. If they don't repent, it's because they don't want to. And I don't try to make people love God. That's their own business. I just present people with the word. If you want to know God, this is what you watch out for. That's the purpose of this broadcast. But God is going to back it up. See, it don't do him any good to punish their daughters anymore. He said, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. They can do whatever they want, and God won't say anything. And they, and then not only that, they're, because they're like people, they're still doing whatever it is they do. They still preach. They still go to church. Now this year, I've heard about three well-known pastors associated with great ministries got caught committing adultery. And they be on TBN. And, you know, it came out that they were in adulterous relationships. They turned their heart a long time ago. And they still do what they still do, the things that they want to do. They still sin. This is not just an isolated incident. That's a plague. That's like plague proportions. See, they separated. He's not going to. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated from with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doeth not understand shall fall, and the women that sleep with them, or the wives of others that sleep with them, they're the same way. Lukewarm people begets leaven, and lukewarm people they try to find lukewarm pastors. They won't endure sound doctrine. That's why the Lord said, "Don't associate with them." Though thou Israel play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye to Gilgal, neither go up ye to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. But they do it anyway. They do it anyway. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not.